I'm glad the Lord loves us each one today. And I'm glad that He has a vested interest in my salvation because I want to make it in. I was thinking about that song that was just sung. You know, it is going to mean something to stand before the Lord. Have you met somebody that you haven't seen, not met them, but run across the path of someone you hadn't seen for a long time, and you kind of look at each other and say, "Don't I know you?" It is going to be something to stand before the Lord and have the Lord look into your eyes and say, "I know you. You look like me. You remind me of myself." It's going to be more personal than that. He's going to say, "Hey, I know you. Talk to you, Rod, just yesterday. How did such and such turn out? So good to see you here today." That's the Lord I serve. That's who I am living to see face to face. And you know what? He wants to see me. You ever met somebody you didn't want to see? The Lord wants to see you. And He's done everything He knows to do so that you can. No matter where you are tonight, no matter what is in your background, no matter what you've done, no matter what failures may be in your past, the Lord wants to be able to say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And every one of us that are here this evening have the opportunity for the Lord to say, "Hey, I know you. Come on in. Let me show you what I have prepared for you. I want to see the Lord in peace. And I want to see you there too." I have a message tonight that I feel is so important. I was thinking earlier today, you know, sometimes in grade school they say, "All right, children, let's gather in. Let's gather around. Gather in close." Sometimes they put people in a circle. I'm not going to ask you to come get in a circle tonight. But if I could ask you to come in your minds and put aside what you're thinking about for a few minutes, because I have something that's very important to talk about tonight. And I hope by the mercy of the Lord that it will be an encouragement, it will be inspiring, and it will help us make it to heaven. Brother Bob said that that's what we're here for. We're here to make it to heaven. That's why I'm here, because I want to make it to heaven. And if the Lord has a little part for me to play in helping you get to heaven, why, I want to do that, because I know you have a part in getting me to heaven. Let's work together to get there. And the Lord's given me a little something tonight that I believe He wants to help get us all to heaven. And the thought this evening is, where are you going? And who and what are you following? And I'd like to start by reading an account in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Matthew 4:18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee..." Now, if maybe I should give you a minute or so to find your place. I want you to hear. Sometimes I know people start preaching and people are looking and they miss three quarters of what was just read. I want you to hear what's read. It's important. Think about it. Put yourself in their spot. Put yourself here. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew's brother..." Think about your own names put in there. "Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. To me, this is an incredible story. This is incredible. Think about what just happened. Think about what we just read. These men were doing what they had done perhaps for years. This is where their security was. This is where their hopes resided for the future. This is where they found comfort. I think the Scriptures almost bear that out. After Jesus died and was crucified, what did they go back and they go and do? They went back fishing. There was something that drew them to that. It's what they knew. It's what they were comfortable with. And they were out fishing. And no doubt in their minds, if I would have come up 10 minutes earlier and said, "Hey, y'all, what are y'all doing? Well, we're fishing. What do you hope to accomplish this month?" "Well, you know, the best we've ever done is we've caught so many pounds of fish and we've got a new net here and our hopes is that we'll get to the place where we can get enough fish, we'll get a new boat, maybe we'll get somebody to help us." But one day Jesus came along, thank the Lord. The same Jesus that walked on the road to Emmaus, where the two men experienced a burning in their heart. And he came upon them and he said, "Follow me." And something caused them to immediately put down their nets. And they followed him. I don't know if they knew completely. They didn't know. They couldn't have known what all that was going to mean. But they left their nets. They didn't take them with them. They didn't say, "Well, hold on, Lord. We're fishermen, and we'd like to follow you, but we've also got a lot invested in this. And we might need to fish along the way. Well, let us gather these up and we'll be right with you." They left their nets and they followed him. And you know, today I don't think they had any regrets. You can ask him when you see him. And he went on and he saw two other people in the boat. And he said, "Follow me." And they followed him. They left what they were doing. They changed direction. They changed courses. And they were willing to follow Jesus. That's who they followed for the rest of their lives. They followed Jesus right into glory. They followed Jesus, and that's where they ended up. That was the destination. Because they followed Jesus, that's where they ended up. Because they followed Him. Where are you going? Where are you going? Rod, where are you going? Who are you following tonight? That's a question that you don't have to answer to me. But ask yourself that right now. Where are you going? What are you following? You know, I couldn't help. I thought about Peter again. Do you remember when Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, just like I would, "Well, yes, Lord, I love you." Next question. I mean, he gave an answer and probably thought he was going to go on to something else. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And allow me a little bit of liberty. If I put myself in Peter's shoes, I'm thinking, didn't I just tell you that I loved you? Maybe he didn't understand what I said. Maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he didn't register. Why is he asking me again? Yes, Lord, I love you. But then he asked him a third time, Peter, almost like he didn't hear him, do you love me? And by the third time, if Peter was anything like, well, he must have been a little bit like me because he said he was grieved. I thought, Lord, I told you I did, and now you're asking me again. What is he talking about? What does he mean? I must be the one that missed what he meant the first time. I thought I knew what he meant when he said, "You love me," the first and the second time, but now I'm not sure that I knew what he meant. Because he asked me three times. He got his attention. And because he got his attention, he's also hopefully got our attention. And I wonder tonight if the Lord was here. Julie, you're my sister, so I'm going to use you as an example. I can buy with it. If the Lord was here and he said, and was here in person, and you all could see him, and Julie was just first in line, and you all were after her, and he said, Julie, where are you going? Not having heard what we just talked about, Julie might say, well, I came to service tonight, good place to be, and I'm going home after this, and then I'm going to go, you know, I've got some things I'm going to go do tomorrow, and that's where I'm going. And if he just looked at you and said, where are you going? Who are you following? What are you doing? Well, I might start to get your attention. Well, I'm going to go home, and I've got some things to do for my family, and Julie, where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you following? Pause. Silence. He'd have your attention, wouldn't he? If the Lord asked you that? Three times? The Lord is asking you tonight, where are you going? What are you following? Who's leading you? The truth of the matter is, we're all going somewhere. The answer, well, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. No, every one of us tonight, we're going somewhere. Every one of us, we're on a road tonight. Every single one of us that are here, we're on a road. And the road has an end point. There is a destination. There is somewhere where this road goes to. Did you know that roads are largely defined by where they go? Some roads are more easily traveled. Some roads that you go down, you enjoy because of the scenery, and they're nicer to go. Sometimes we take scenic routes. But roads are defined because of where they go. It's where they end up. If I decide that I'm going to go to Portland tonight, but I take the road that goes to Eugene because I like the way that it looks better. I like the way that the lighting is, and I'm more comfortable with it. But I want to go to Portland. But I just like the road better that goes to Eugene. If I get on the road that goes to Eugene, guess what? I'm not going to get to Portland. I'm headed south, and I don't want to go south. I'll never get to my destination. Let me rephrase that. I'll get to the destination that the road takes me. And it doesn't matter how much that I want to get to Portland. It does not matter how bad I want to get to Portland. If I choose to stay on the road to Eugene, and this is the way the Lord is, because folks, again, we serve a God who's trying to get us to heaven. And many of us get on the road to Eugene when the Lord says to go to Portland. And thank the Lord, He doesn't turn His back on us when that happens. Thank the Lord. Did you know that on the road to Eugene, there will be signs pointing to Portland all the way to Eugene? Portland, 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 telling you, you're on the right. Get off the road that you're on. You're on the road to Eugene. Portland, that's the Lord. He's out there waving. Hey, Portland, get off now, Portland. All the way to Eugene. Because He loves us. Because He cares about you. Because He wants to see you in heaven. And it's His mercy to come to us and say, Rod, where are you going? You know why? Because if I'm not going on the highway, if I'm heading in the wrong direction, the Lord doesn't want me to end up in the wrong place. And you are on a road tonight. Every one of you are on a road that is going somewhere. And it doesn't matter how much you like the road. It doesn't matter how much time you think you have to get to your destination. It doesn't matter how much you think that at your own choosing and own will, I can get off at any time. As long as you stay on the road that you are on, you will end up at the destination where that road goes. It's simple. It's not complicated. And the Lord has done everything He knows to do, all the way to giving His life to get every one of us on the road that goes to heaven. Thank God. He's such a merciful God. But you know what's so sad? You know what's so sad? There are people that are on a road tonight that will pass sign after sign after sign after sign, always believing that there's going to be one more sign. And one day there isn't going to be another sign. You're going to reach where the road went. The Lord lets us go where we choose to go. And He's not going to pick our car up and physically turn it around and force us against our will to go in a different way than what we're going. But He loves us so much that He will be all along the way saying, "Heaven, heaven, this is my way. You're on the wrong road." I want to hear His voice. I want to know what road I'm on tonight. I want to know who I'm following. I want to know where I'm headed. I want to know where I'm going. And I want to get myself aligned with the destination of heaven. And I don't want to get off that road. It's the most satisfying road out there, regardless of what the multitudes say. Most of them haven't experienced it. They're not in a place to tell me that I'm on the least satisfying road, because they don't know. They haven't been there. They haven't gone down that road. You talk to anybody who has been on the highway of holiness. You talk to anybody that has had an experience of salvation where they've come to the altar, consecrated their lives wholly and completely, given themselves completely over to the Lord, and are striving to be a dependable servant of God, and you ask them, "Do you think you messed up? Do you think you're on the wrong road?" Every single one of them will say, "Absolutely not." And yet the multitude say, "What are you thinking? You don't have to do that. That's not necessary. That's like telling me it's not necessary for me to go north to get to Portland. That's about as absurd as it is for them to say, you can go south and still get to Portland. No, you can't." Has anybody ever gone south and got to Portland? Not unless they drove all the way around the world. No one's ever done it. And no one ever will. And no one will ever make it to heaven, folks. As merciful as God is, do not let the enemy deceive you into thinking, "Well, I serve a merciful God. He won't. I mean, the Lord's not going to keep me out of heaven for this. The Lord's a merciful. He's a merciful God." That's why there's signs all the way down the road saying, "No, stop." Not only are there roads that say Portland, there's these red flashing lights that are saying, "Warning, danger ahead, caution, stop, don't proceed further, turn now." That's how much He loves us. All the way down the road He does that. Because He loves us. But I will tell you something. If you don't get off the road, you're going to end up right where the road goes. That's where you'll go. So it's very important tonight to know where you're going. Who's leading you? What are you following? Sometime back, the last time I was here in Oregon, I went on one of my favorite little walks, hikes up in the Three Sisters Wilderness area. And I was only going to be up there a day, and I thought, you know, I really don't want to spend all day long up here. I've been up twice before. This is my third time. I think I'll just walk 2 hours. I'll just go a couple hours in, and then I'll turn around and come back, and then I'll have some other things to do. But I had been there before, and I had gone all the way until I was right, like felt like I was in the middle of the mountains, the Three Sisters, Broken Top, Broken Hand, they're all around me. And as I was walking up, and you start getting tired and start thinking, well, you know, if I've got some other things I'd really like to do while I'm in Sisters. But you know what happened? The beauty of the mountains kept drawing me. I kept saying, I'll just go a little further. I'll just go a little bit further. And I'd go a little further, like, well, oh, I've gone too far to go. I just a little bit. And do you know, if I didn't finally decide, forget all the other things that I had on my mind. Forget about the pain in my legs. Forget about how my feet... I'm going to the mountaintop. I'm going to experience it again. And I did it again. And I decided that's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm headed for the mountaintop, and I'm not turning back. And I remember getting up a couple hours in, and I saw a man up there coming the other way. And I said, "Did you see the mountains?" Because I had seen them, and I knew what they looked like. He said, "Well," he said, "no." He said, "I'm going back down." He said, "I've got kind of a cold, and I think I'm going." And I was thinking, "What? You're all the way up here, and you have a little cold? You must not have enough of a cold to keep you from starting out. You're going to go back down?" I said, "Have you seen him?" "Well, no, but..." And I thought, "Man, you are missing out." He was satisfied with what he had already seen. He saw enough to satisfy him, and he decided to go back down. And guess where he ended up at the end of his walk? Right back down at the bottom of the hill of his car. Guess where I was? I was on the mountaintop. I was breathing rarefied, purified air. That's where I was. Do you know so many people today start up the mountain and think, "Oh, my legs are sore. I don't think it's necessary to go all the way. I've got some other things I'd rather do, and I only have so much time, and I'm only at this stage of my life for so long, and I want to take full advantage of the time. I think I'll spread my time around a little bit. I've experienced some of it. I've gone up the mountain. I've seen some of the beauty. I saw the lake from on top, and I'm content." Oh, the Lord is saying to us tonight, "Come, keep coming. Keep walking. Stay in there. I'll help you to the top. Trust me, you'll be glad you went. Have a little faith. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste of it. Let the Lord begin to talk to your heart and let Him be and follow Him and do His will and make up your mind like we talked about last night. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to go this way. This isn't... Yes, there's some things that you're going to give up. I gave up some free time, but I'm going to tell you something. When I got up to the top of the mountain, I wasn't thinking about all the other things I could have been doing. Because what I saw and what I experienced so far outweighed that. I didn't even think about it anymore." You'll experience that in your Christian life if you'll drop your nets and follow God. Follow after Him. Give Him your all. The Lord is saying to you tonight, "Come. Come. I'll hold your hand. When you get tired, I'll carry you. How about that?" Now there's a deal. When you get tired, I'll just carry you. If you're willing and you'll let me carry you and you won't fight against me, I'll carry you when you can't walk anymore. And if you get hurt, oh, by the way, don't worry. I created you in the first place. I can take care of that too. That's where I want to go. I want to listen and I want to heed to the voice of the Lord when He says, "Come." I want to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. I'm coming. I want to follow You. I want to experience the beauty of the mountaintop. I don't want to miss out on that. I want to be there." And the Lord is going to be your cheerleader all the way. Oh, that we may leave our nets and follow Him. The Scripture says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm going to run out of time. The converse is also true. As many as are not led by the Spirit of God, they are not the sons of God. Because the road doesn't go in both directions. It only goes in one direction. You can't be the Son of God and obey another spirit. What spirit are you following? Did you know that people today try to do things that are mutually exclusive of each other? It happens all the time. That means things that are they're contrary. They don't agree with each other. It's like oil and water. People try to be on Weight Watchers diet and they follow it and then they eat hamburgers on the side. And they look at people and say, I'm on Weight Watchers. Well, they are in a way. They're following the menu. They say, well, what'd you have for Weight Watchers today? Well, I had this, 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 and this. Oh, well, you're doing pretty good. Yep, I'm on it. They say it's pretty successful, but they're eating hamburgers at night. They don't go together. They don't mix. You start eating hamburgers, and it takes away from the whole point of the diet. You negate it. You take away from it. You neutralize it. It's because you can't do both things at the same time. Folks, you can't follow the Lord and follow after what you want and have it work out all together at the same time. Things that are mutually exclusive, they don't work together. The roads don't go in the same direction. What road are you on tonight? People say, well, I'm on the road. I'm following the Lord. That's where I'm going. Break it down farther than that. Look at your activities. Begin to look deeper than that. That's an answer that you would give someone that asked you for the first time, where are you going? You'd say, well, I'm following the Lord. But what if he continued to ask and continued to say, where are you going? Oh, well, I'm following you. What if he started getting more specific? Well, but what about this thing in your life over here? Where's that road going? Oh. Well, Lord, I mean, overall, I want to follow you. Yeah, but what about this piece of your life over here that's not consistent with the Bible? How can I get you to heaven when I said that won't enter into heaven? Oh, where are you going? I'm going to tell you where you're going. You're going down a road that has a destination, and you can't go down roads that are filled with things that are unlike God and end up where God is. It's not because He doesn't love you. It's not because He doesn't like you. It's not because He's trying to catch you somehow. It's because that's not who He is. It can't work that way. And so the Lord very simply told us, He said, you can't serve God and mammon. It doesn't work. You're either going to hate one and love the other, or love one and despise the other. And a lot of times we tell each other, we'll say, well, Lord, I don't hate you. I don't despise you. He says, but where are you going? This isn't like me. Well, I don't want to be like the man without the wedding garment that was speechless. Why do you think he was speechless? Eternity was at stake for him. Wouldn't you think that he'd have a whole lot to say? But he didn't. He was speechless. You know why? Because he was on a road that went somewhere besides where the Lord was, and there wasn't anything he could say. What was he going to say to the Lord? Well, I just thought you'd let me in anyway. And the Lord, my understanding is, they provided the wedding garments. He didn't have to come up with that. They had them at the front door. Here, here's your wedding garment. Come in, enjoy. I've got the table spread. You don't even have to pay for it. But he tried to do it on his own terms. He wanted to come in and come to the wedding, but he wanted to do it on his own terms. And the Lord said, where's your wedding garment? And he didn't have anything to say. And the Lord said, take him away. And he went where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because he stayed on a road that eventually ended up right where it was going. There is going to be no surprises at the judgment. Folks, no surprises. When we get there and we face the Lord, we're not going to be surprised. There's nothing that we can say. We'll be speechless. There'll be nothing we can say because we will know we ended up right down the road that we were following. What spirit are you following tonight? Have you given your all, or do you have a divided heart? I remember, and perhaps I shouldn't remember this, I remember when I tried to get rid of my blanket as a child. Might mean I was too old. I don't remember being particularly attached to my blanket, but apparently I was a little more attached than I thought. And I specifically remember deciding, I'm a big boy now, I'm getting rid of my blanket. I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to get rid of it. Guess where I threw it away? In the garbage can where all the, you know, slop and gross stuff and food and, you know, because I don't need it anymore. Is that where I threw it? Do you remember where I threw it? I put it in Mom's sewing trash can where there was just thread and bits of material that were perfectly clean. That's where I threw it. I thought about it before I threw it away. Might need it back. And I threw it away, and I went back to Mom. She was in the back bathroom, back by the washer-dryer. And I said, Mom, I threw away my blanket. She said, you did? I said, yep. I got done with that discussion, and not 2 minutes later, went and pulled it back out of the trash can. And it was clean and ready to go. It's kind of funny. But did you know there was more of a spirit at work than just, I'm going to be a big boy now and I have made a decision. I'm making a break for it. I'm going to do something different. I still had a divided heart. I really didn't want to get rid of my blanket. And I did things so that I could come back to it. And there was a spirit that was there that was leading me to preserve my blanket, my security, if you will. And we do that so many times in life. We don't want to let go completely. We want to hang on. And we want to be able to come back to it. But we want to feel good that, hey, Lord, look what I just did for you. Lord, I'm a big guy now. I'm a Christian. But I did a U-turn and I went back. What spirit are we following? Are we giving our all? Have we made a break for it? Or do we keep picking up those things that continue to hinder us in our life? Know what spirit you're following. And before I close, I want to say this too. There are only two types of spirits. There's a spirit of God, and there are the spirits that are not of God. And you're following one of them. So it's important to know what you're following. And very often, young folks, you know what we like to try to do when we don't want to give something up? We want to call it a neutral spirit. We want to say, it doesn't matter. This particular thing doesn't matter what I do. Every decision that you make, what drove that decision matters. When it has to do with your soul, when it has to do with we're trying to imitate the Lord, we're trying to look like Him. And so often the enemy tries to tell us it doesn't matter either way. And very often those things that we call neutral aren't neutral at all. There may be some things that are neutral in nature. I'm not trying to get in a debate over that. But many things that are not neutral, we like to say are neutral. And we like to say it doesn't matter. I can do this and everything ought to be okay. I can do this and I'm really not wrong. It's okay. I went to high school with a kid, one of my friends, and he used to tell me, "Look, Rod, I'm not addicted to beer. I just like the taste of it." But you try to get him to set it down, and you find out whether he was addicted to it or not. Those things that are neutral in nature, just a little encouragement to you folks, young folks tonight. If you're battling with something that just won't seem to go away, and you keep telling yourself it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. If you can't let go of it, it does matter. It does matter. If nothing else, something is in your heart that matters. And maybe if the Lord can get that taken care of, it may be that you can go back to whatever it was. I don't, as long as it's not wrong. But things do matter. Know what spirit you're of. One scripture says, try the spirits that you may know whether they be of God or whether they be of man. Where are you going? What are you following? Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Did you know that you cannot be unconformed or not conformed to the world until you're transformed? And most people don't want to view themselves as conformists. Anybody here want to view themselves as a conformist in this world? Conformist to the Lord, the Scriptures? Absolutely. But anybody want to say that they're a conformist to people? To spirits of the world? None of us like to admit to that because it makes us feel like we're weak. We're not our own person. I'm going to tell you something. You are not the leader of yourself. You're not the one in the lead, is what I'm trying to say. You're following a spirit. You are following a road. You don't define the road. The road defines the destination. It defines where the destination is going to be. It goes where the destination is. Not you. You don't get to go down the road and decide. It's already been decided. And you will be a conformist to the world, and you will conform to the spirit of the world until you become transformed. And the Lord is saying, will you be transformed? Will you follow me? Will you let me fill you with who I am so that I can get you to heaven? I want to be in the place where I say, here am I, Lord. I'll go. When the Lord says, hey, Rod, follow me. Rod, in this area of your life, it's a little bit different. Follow me. Let me come over this way instead of the way you've been going. That will happen all through your life. And if you want to make it to heaven when the Lord says, follow me, we want to be able to say, here am I. What would thou have me to do? Let's be encouraged this evening to ask ourselves, where are we going? What road are we on? And listen to the voice of the Spirit. Because He'll be faithful to say, get off here. He'll help ensure you get to heaven if you let Him. Yeah. Be willing to do that. Pray for me that I'll be true.